This week's pundit is our largely libertarian freethinker, Eric Crampton from the New Zealand Initiative, who's in the studio with me. Welcome, Eric.
Good evening. Thanks.
Nice to have you here. We're here to discuss a very interesting issue. It's a very relevant issue for many people. That's organ donation. And with that, repugnant markets. Let's start with repugnant markets. I guess we think we know what that means by the name, but flesh that out for us.
Sure. Al Roth got his Nobel Prize in economics for some work around this area. So this was a couple of years ago. He documented through different times and different places what sorts of voluntary transactions among consenting adults have been deemed to be sort of outside of the proper bounds of commerce, that a lot of people think is just a bad idea to let cash be involved in those sorts of trades. So there's a lot of them that would really surprise you. In the early 1800s, it was pretty debatable whether you'd even be able to get life insurance, because a lot of people considered to be gambling on when somebody's going to die. Oh. And if you frame it that way, well, you get some populist scare stories around it, right? You're going to gamble on death? Why should people be allowed to gamble on whether you're going to live or not? Now, of course, we all understand that it's really important for estate planning and making sure your family isn't destitute if something bad should happen. But if you think about it in gambling terms, then that can put people off. So what gets considered repugnant and banned from commercial transaction changes from time to place. So prior to 2005, prostitution was illegal in New Zealand. It was considered a repugnant market.
Right.
Now it's legal. There are better outcomes in the industry, as best I can tell from the government reports on it. The workers are better protected, better outcomes, but it was deemed repugnant beforehand. In the United States, it's still illegal. Conversely, in the United States, trade in marijuana is legal in a lot of states. It's still considered a repugnant market in New Zealand, where willing buyers and willing sellers are prevented from doing so by the police.
So things move in and out of repugnant markets.
They sure do. But one bit that seems fairly constant across a lot of developed countries are prohibitions around sale and traffic in bodily organs, or that even extends down to compensation in a lot of places for the gifts made by donors, that folks worry that it might be exploitative or that people might be unduly induced because of cash to go in and get surgery, give up a kidney for somebody else. But if we think about all the other kinds of risky things that people might be thinking about doing because cash is involved and because they have financial constraints, people go and work on risky fishing boats, they take on all kinds of other risks.
Worm farms,
yeah, those are dodgy. I understand they're very dangerous.
Gotta be careful.
But in the American data, actually, there are a lot of jobs that are riskier in terms of life risk than giving up a kidney. Kidney donation is about as safe as any other major operation where you go under an anesthetic.
When it comes to body parts, I can sort of see where that thinking may have come from, but it's such a normal part of medicine now that that must be moving out of the repugnant market sort of space. Why is there still this pushback against people being the actual donator being compensated?
Well, folks worry about undue inducement, and it's strange. The only person who isn't compensated anywhere along through the process is the person who's giving up an organ for a live donor, or if you're making a cadaveric donation, the family or the estate aren't compensated. Everybody else in the process is able to be compensated for it, and there are all kinds of industries that are based around processing tissues and fluids into medically useful devices and treatments.
Who all get paid. In fact, they repurpose those parts into a saleable item.
They sure
do. From a free donation, potentially.
Yeah, and that's to everybody's benefit that's been allowed. We get to have much better medical technology than we otherwise could. But it is a shame that donors can't be compensated, not just because of the fairness issue, but also because it means that we have massive shortages. Economists will tell you that whenever you force a price of something that's scarce to be zero because you ban people from accepting compensation for it, you're going to have a shortage. So the same way that rent controls in the U.S. cause shortages in apartments in some cities, we have massive shortages in donor organs all around the world because of prohibitions on compensation of donors.
So here, what is the situation?
Well, it's illegal to provide any kind of payment to a donor. So if I needed a kidney, I couldn't go and pay somebody for a kidney.
Even if I wanted to?
Even if I wanted to, yeah.
I could slip you a few dollars. No one would ever know.
we'd still be subject to some pretty big fines if we ever got caught. Right. And you can understand if it were run through the public health system, you might want to have compensation run through the public health system anyway. And we do provide a bit of compensation for living donors right now through work and income, but it's very limited. So average earnings from salary and wages in New Zealand last year were about $991. The top payment that you can possibly get out of work and income for time lost while you're recuperating after donating a kidney to your sister or your wife or somebody is $350. So you're taking like a two-thirds pay cut on average for having made that gift.
The average person's going to struggle with that.
Well, yeah. Now, rich people could be able to afford it if you've got sufficient savings to tide you through.
Is it?
Well, it isn't. So the result of a system that's meant to protect poor people from being exploited by this horrible cash thing
perverse.
Winds up preventing poor people from having access to organs.
Why, you possibly don't know the answer to this question, why are we so measly with the compensation? Because I was reading, and I think we can talk more about this, Elizabeth Prasad's report, that a transplant of a kidney could save up to $120,000 in the health system because it stops you having to go for dialysis for years, and the intervention after that, if everything's going well, is quite minimal. So, I mean, there's no economic or money reason to not compensate people. It saves money.
There are very few policies where you can save and improve lives at the same time as saving the government money. Usually you have to spend a whole pile of money to save and improve lives. Compensating donors properly to bring more organs into the system saves the government money while saving lives. So Liz Prasad had started doing this work for me when she was an honors student at Canterbury and I was lecturing there. And then she expanded into her master's thesis after I left, and she's since published it as a report with us today at the New Zealand Initiative. So a short version of it focused around incentives for live donation. So there she did find that in the indicative case of a 50-year-old male, it's about $120,000, $125,000 that the Ministry of Health saves for every new organ that comes into the system and gets somebody off of dialysis.
Yeah.
So the one-off costs are not insubstantial for transplant.
But they're one-off.
But they're one-off. There are some ongoing costs with anti-rejection medication and making sure that you have proper follow-ups, but they're nowhere near as intrusive and costly as dialysis. So it's not financial reasons that are stopping us from paying. It's worries about the ethics of compensating people properly. So there are some ethicists, often around the University of Otago, who will worry that it's just evil to have cash anywhere involved in this system, even if it winds up killing piles of people.
Is that a particular sort of way of thinking at that institution, is that what you're saying?
Well, that's where I've mostly seen the objections to compensating donors come from, or objections to other kinds of mechanisms that could help save lives
while
being fair.
What are some of those other mechanisms? There are plenty of places that deal with this situation around the world. What are some of the workarounds that they've come up with that could help us?
Well, there are some that have not been objected to that we are starting towards in New Zealand. So we have a matching donors program here. I'd mentioned Al Roth earlier. This is what he got his Nobel Prize for in the States. So while most economists would just yell about how it's terrible that we're killing people by banning cash transactions that could save lives, Al Roth instead figured out an algorithm that would let him run matching donors. So if I'm a good match for your sister and you're a good match for somebody else's wife, and that person's husband is a good match for my partner, then we could arrange a deal where we all trade kidneys, run all the transplants at the same time, and nobody's been compensated, so there's no evil cash involved, because that worries people. But you do get to save a lot of lives, and Roth did a lot of good work there. So New Zealand has made some moves towards that, but it's always going to be kind of limited because we have a small population. One of the neat tricks with compensating living donors properly is that you can help enable some of these matching schemes to work better because you have more potential organs in the mix. Another system that Liz looked at in her thesis work and then expanded on a little bit in her work for us was what's going on in Israel around priority treatment for donors. So they have a fairly comprehensive system there where if you agree to be an organ donor, you're accorded priority treatment as compared to other people of similar medical necessity if you wind up needing an organ. Now, we're talking about it here in terms of live donors. I think it could do a lot of good in helping to encourage live donation for kidneys. Again, donating a kidney is pretty safe, but it can leave you with a lingering worry, right? If your remaining kidney goes crook, you're going to be at the back of a fairly long queue waiting for a transplant.
And that's sort of not fair.
Well, really, yeah.
Because you've done your bit.
You've done your bit. You've made sure that the queue is one position shorter for everybody else, and then you're stuck at the back. We're suggesting that we should be looking at something like the priority system for live donors who have made that gift to make sure that they're never stuck in that position. And because they have the surety that they won't be stuck in that position, they'll be more willing to give.
Does that mean that there are more people who will be willing to give? Therefore, you try and work against some of the problems of not being enough organs.
Exactly. So in Israel, the data is a little more mixed on cadaveric donation with the priority law. But in terms of live donation, the number of live donors roughly doubled with the move to compensation and priority in Israel. Now, it's still a little bit fuzzy because at the same time, Israel stopped their insurance companies from paying Israelis to go overseas to get a transplant from somewhat dodgier sources. So you'd have an increase in demand for organs in Israel, so people would be starting to ask their family members a little bit more.
Right.
But a lot of them wouldn't have been able to afford to do it without compensation, and they wouldn't have been confident enough to do it without the priority system.
Hmm. So that's something we could easily do here.
Yeah.
Easily. Cadaveric donating seems to be possibly more problematic, especially for families, and you can see how that could happen. You don't know if the the funeral... In some countries, if the funeral director's sort of got a kickback going to that particular chap who takes these bits and ferries them off somewhere to the company that repurposes the parts.
Well, it'd be pretty surprising in developed countries, but it is an issue in parts of Eastern Europe and elsewhere. So there was some controversy a couple of years ago that one of the main companies sourcing tissues for the medical market was not quite as clean in its supply practices as it should have been. But that's an artifact of having these weird markets where you're prohibited from engaging in trade, so everything gets a little bit dodgy when supply is really constrained and there are lots of people who are willing to pay a lot.
I guess the scary thing is that there are so many people prepared to live with that and still carry on the business and the trade. And I think the point was made in some of the notes I was reading that, you know, we can source the origin of beef and food products, it's barcoded, it takes it straight back to the origin. The technology's there. We can do exactly the same with body parts. But you know, people sort of, maybe we don't do that, maybe we do. It seems a bit loosey-goosey.
It's always
on purpose.
It's always easier to source legit, to be sure that your supply is clean and well documented when there aren't these crazy shortages that come in from barring trade in this and barring payment of donors.
Yeah.
If we weren't in a situation of radical shortage of donors, we wouldn't be seeing some of these things.
Hmm. People might have heard the story of Alistair Cook, the BBC broadcaster, famous broadcaster in his 90s. He died. He was the Letter from America chap. We used to hear him on radio here a lot. Even he fell victim to someone operating in a very shady area. His organs being taken out between, you know, the service and the disposal. And, it could even happen to him. So, and that was in New York. So
I'm pretty happy for folks to take anything that I've got after I'm gone. I'm not going to be using it. But one thing that I would really like, if it were possible, in the United States, there's a little deal called Life Sharers. So there, it's sort of a club that tries to implement something similar to what the Israelis have in the priority system. So members of Life Sharers all agree that we're all going to be organ donors, but if we ever die with our organs suitable for transplant, we'd really like our organs to go to another member of Life Sharers. Free to join for anybody, absolutely no restrictions on it. But it makes sure that more people have incentive to donate. For a while, there was a New Zealand version of Life Shares that was going. Their website hasn't been up for a little while.
Right,
but
so
I still like
sort of
the idea.
Out, has it? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
you'd have to be quite organized for that to work, wouldn't you?
You would, and you'd also have to have the support of the transplant surgeons, who some of whom have ethical issues with it because they don't think it's fair that people who are not willing to share would not have as much access to organs as people who are willing to share.
Well, there's an easy way to sort that out, isn't it?
Not really, unless you're really happy to force the doctors to do things they don't want to do.
Well, no, if you've got a regime that allows organs to come to people, that's managed and well-managed and ensures fairness, then that problem's not such a...
Where you're compensating organ donors properly so that you can get more supply into the systems, that people would be willing to be a live kidney donor or even donate a lobe of the liver. It's riskier than a kidney, but it's totally feasible and livers regenerate.
Yeah.
You could get more supply in and save a lot of lives.
So what should we do now?
Well, Chris Bishop's bill has been drawn from the members' ballot that would provide compensation up to about 80% of your wages.
Why not just pay the whole damn wage?
I agree.
It's like water torture.
It is penny wise, but ridiculously pound foolish to undercompensate on these issues if it can bring more supply in.
But we're talking rats and mice in money terms. It's nothing.
Yes, we are.
I can't understand why you want to go. We'd just go to 100.
Well, some folks worry, again, these aren't my worries, but some ethicists worry that it'd be too much of an inducement.
If I want to sell a kidney and I'm going to get by on one, is that fundamentally, that's my choice, isn't it?
Well, if you believe in individual choice and that people should have rights over their own bodies, then it is very hard to reject that proposition.
All right. Okay, we're out of time. It flew by. Eric, thank you for coming in. Plenty
Great
to
chatting.
Think about there. Eric Crampton, our thinker from the right today. We're talking about organ donation, some of the ways that that can work, and repugnant markets.